This week, the world's leaders are meeting here in Manhattan for the United Nations General Assembly. You've probably noticed the traffic snarls as a result. Although the General Assembly is probably best known for the provocative and sometimes colorful speeches and the delegations that walk out in protest, there are other things that go on during the six-day meeting. So on today's Please Explain, we're looking at what happens behind the scenes and before and after those speeches. And joining me now for a look at all this diplomacy is Warren Hoge. He's a senior advisor for external relations for the International Peace Institute in New York and former foreign correspondent for the New York Times covering the UN. Warren, thanks for joining us today.
Nice to be here.
Well, Warren, first of all, explain to me, what do you do at the International Peace Institute? What does that organization do?
The International Peace Institute is a policy research think tank, but it happens to be right across the street from the UN. As I talk to you right now, and I'm looking at the UN building, and when I finished covering the UN for the New York Times 3 years ago, I simply crossed the street and came to this office, and I've been doing this for 3 years. We are independent and we are very international, but a lot of the policy research advice we give follows the United Nations agenda. The United Nations people from the 193 missions in this neighborhood, are the people who come here, the people who are our audiences. So we're very much of the United Nations without being a part of it.
I see. Now, so you have a great view of the UN building. What are you looking at? Try to set the scene for us a little bit. What are you looking at right now?
Well, at the moment right now, I'm watching, and I have been watching now for the past 2 or 3 days, slow corteges of police cars and other security vehicles bringing, if I just wait here a second, a car will come around the corner that will have the flag on the front and presumably has a president, a head of state or a head of government inside of it. That's just been the constant. It's raining right now, so the streets are not filled with people milling about. But the other night, I was with some friends who said, "You must really hate it when this happens every year." And I said, "To the contrary, I love it. I'm a newsman. I like commotion. And usually the streets are filled with people, and those people are recognizable heads of state. And there's something wonderful, sort of wonderfully democratic about seeing these people bumping into each other and pushing through lines. They can't really, they have their security guys with them. But it isn't like they're shoving people aside. They're part of the street traffic."
Yeah, but before we get too excited about how democratic it is, they are getting better parking than the rest of us. Let's make that very clear.
Well, I was going to begin by saying that I'm well aware of the reputation of the United Nations, because I used to be the city editor of the New York Post many years ago, and we had a field day every year with, you know, parking tickets that were, you know, that missions were not paying. I also am a native-born New Yorker, so I know how much this disrupts the lives of people. Happily, I can walk to work, but other people cannot. And I would not make an argument for this institute calls itself the UN's good friend and most constructive critic. So that's kind of how we're well aware of the downside as well as the upside.
Well, you know, when we, you know, just as the average TV viewer or radio listener, when we have the General Assembly come roll into town, we mainly see the big, I think we're being kind when we call them colorful speeches, you know, Ahmadinejad or Hugo Chavez, usually comparing someone to Satan or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's sort of more, for me, it's kind of performance art. I love to see these guys do what they're doing. But what's actually going on behind the scenes? Is there actual work? Because these guys it's like watching Cirque du Soleil or something. But is there entertainment? Besides the entertainment, is there some work going on? Are we accomplishing anything here?
There is. I mean, you're right, first of all, in saying the speeches, you know, every single country, 193 countries, a head of state or a foreign minister will give a speech of 3 to 5 minutes. And that is not at all what this is about. I mean, it is theater and only theater. And occasionally you have the Gaddafis. This is the only place in the world probably where people are missing Muammar Gaddafi this season, because he was always dependable. Chavez, dependable, as you mentioned. Ahmadinejad, even Ahmadinejad has become boring. If you read the coverage of his speech the other day, it's so predictable, and everybody walks out. No, the real action that happens here is the extraordinary network opportunity it is. Remember, it's 30 or 40 heads of state and government. There is no other gathering like it in the world at any other time, and it happens every fall, and these presidents come here. Obama, for instance, when he was here for 2.5 days, I don't know how many bilateral meetings, but I'll guess at 20 or 25. That's 20 or 25 trips he doesn't have to make, you know, to foreign capitals, and they really do get work done. And also, a lot of the smaller groups, I mean, groups like NATO, realize that they will all be together here this particular week. So they kind of focus on this time for some pretty intense multilateral diplomacy. You don't see that, but that's what's really going on, and that's what really matters.
So it's a lot of stuff really behind the scenes that we don't see.
What you see almost doesn't matter at all. It's completely for show. You said yourself,
well, I figured that
perfect.
Out.
Yeah, you said theatrical. You're right. But an awful lot of stuff. I mean, nobody will miss this meeting because they know it's an opportunity to talk to so many other people who they want to talk to, who they will not see either in their capital or going to the capital of that person. That's the real value of this. And I've just heard diplomat, world leader after world leader say that's the reason they come here.
You know, just one last question. You've covered the United Nations as a reporter for The Times, in addition to your current role. What's the atmosphere like inside that big oval room? And there's such a sort of, well, as we all know, there's a very charged atmosphere, charged agenda right now. But is it collegial? Is it very cordial? Is there tension? What do you make of the mood of that room?
It's too collegial in the sense that it's all about public diplomacy, so people treat each other, except for the famous moments in history with Khrushchev banging his shoe or Adlai Stevenson calling people names. Basically, it's high diplomacy. The atmosphere, I'll tell you, the atmosphere at the UN each year is those people that are here worry about the relevance of the United Nations. You'll remember that President Bush used to come to them and chastise them and saying, you're becoming as relevant as the League of Nations. That really hits home, and it's such a big place. Things happen so slowly here. It's made fun of so often. It is a gigantic talking shop that every year a lot of the conversations about maintaining relevance, and now you have groups like the G20 and other kind of powerful groups. You have the BRICS, you know, the emerging nations. That I would say the real concern at the UN by those people who believe in it is maintaining relevance at a time when so many people, you know, consider them irrelevant. But then you have the moments of high drama, going back to the Iraq War and the Security Council, and coming right to today. Today is the day that Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas will give his application for statehood to Ban Ki-moon. So today, as often happens during this week, this is the center, this is the point, the ground zero of an enormous international event, and it's occurring here right now, and all the players in that event are here right now.
Well, thank you, Warren. I've been speaking to Warren Hoag, the Senior Advisor for External Relations for the International Peace Institute in New York and former foreign correspondent for the New York Times covering the UN. Thank you.
Thank you.